You would open your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 1. Our text today, Mark 1, I'm going to begin reading in verse 40, down through 45, the end of the chapter. Hear now the word of the Lord. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I'm willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you do not tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word. We pray that you would use that word now to train up your people, Lord, to encourage us, to build us up in the most holy faith, Lord, to draw closer to you. Lord, use this word for your divine purposes, we pray. Lord, our prayer today is that we would hear your voice and your voice only. We pray these things in Christ's name and for our sake. Amen. If you saw the movie Papillon, you may remember Steve McQueen's character, Henry Charrière, who was Papillon. He was called Papillon because he had a big butterfly tattooed on his chest. But Papillon and his fellow escapees during one of their prison escapes from the infamous penal colony in French Guiana, they stumbled into a leper colony during one of their escapes. And in a famous scene in there, Toussaint, the chief of the leper colony, while mulling over their fate, he asked Papillon if he likes cigars, as he's holding one in the nubs of his fingers that the leprosy has eaten away. And Papillon says, "Well, when I can get them." And Toussaint offers him the cigar he's been puffing on. And Papillon takes it, and after a quite long pause, he puts it in his mouth and puffs on it. And Toussaint begins to laugh, and he says, "How did you know I had dry leprosy? That's non-contagious." And Papillon says, "I didn't." So Toussaint gives him a boat and some money and provisions and helps them with their escape. Now, I don't know, you know, how movies are. In the book Papillon, written by the real Papillon, he said he stayed with the leper colony 2 years, hiding out there from the authorities. But, true or not, there's a real-life leper colony much closer to home, on the Hawaiian island of Molokai. A leper colony was established there in 1866. And for over 100 years, lepers were taken there, dropped off there. They had no running water. They got supplies once a year. A boat brought in the supplies. And it was finally closed after quite some time. But in 1870, a Catholic priest by the name of Father Damien went there and stayed with the lepers to minister to them with the stench and the rats and the flies. And he eventually contracted leprosy himself, and so he lived the rest of his life there with the lepers. He went there to serve, and he died there. Now, there's about 14 people still living there today. The colony's closed, but they've been living there their whole life. They're most of them in their 80s and 90s today. being brought there, you know, many years ago. But that was the way leprosy was treated until recent days, last few decades. Now, if it's diagnosed early and treated properly, it can be cured. But for the last 4,000 years, treatment consisted of isolation, removing you from society, secluding you from other people, only in the company of lepers. Thus, we have all these requirements in the Old Testament about leprosy and what's to be done. Leprosy was a dreaded disease, and it in fact takes many different forms. Some of what's described in Scripture we might call eczema or psoriasis or some other skin disease today. Others were oozing sores and various skin pigment conditions. But in its manifestation as clinical leprosy, it produces lumps on the face, like Toussaint, if you saw the movie. Degeneration, usually the nose and the lips, the throat membranes, it eats away and parts of the nose and the lips. Necrosis of the extremities, you lose your fingers and your toes are eaten away, your feet, your hands. Paralysis and blindness sometimes are the result. And I'm not trying to ruin your lunch. I just think that sometimes we read words like leprosy in the Scripture. We read these words, the man with leprosy, and we don't give it a second thought. We fail to appreciate what that really meant, physically, emotionally, socially. You know, for the people of Israel, the diagnosis and the isolation that was required and the restoration, if that was to happen, are spelled out in detail in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14. And Leviticus 13, 45 and 46 gives us a picture of the life of the leper. The Scripture says the person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, must let his hair be unkept, must cover the lower part of his face, first use of face mask, and cry out, unclean, unclean, so people will stay away from him. As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp. So that was the life of the man who approached Jesus. We're not told where this encounter takes place. It probably should have been outside of a town, not right in town. Clearly, this man had a bad case, even advanced case of leprosy, because the parallel account in Luke 5:12 says the man was covered with leprosy. This was a bad case of one of the most dreaded diseases. It was, in essence, like the people of Molokai, a death sentence in the company of others who were likewise condemned. As the king of Israel said, we read in our Old Testament reading this morning, when he received a request from the king of Aram about his servant Naaman, he said, "Can I raise the dead?" To cure leprosy was considered on a par with raising the dead. So the first thing we notice is that the leper defies the regulations. He approached Jesus. He was within touching distance of Jesus. And we're not told, but probably safe to assume that Peter and Andrew and James and John drew back a little bit in fear and maybe revulsion from looking at the man. But the man falls on his knees before Jesus and begs Jesus. It's an urgent appeal to Jesus. But what's more notable than his humble, submissive attitude is his absolute confidence that Jesus can cure him. Jesus' reputation has already spread far and wide, even to this man who's outside the mainstream of society. And Jesus' reputation is such that even leprosy, which generally was assumed to be incurable, comes under Jesus' authority. The man's confidence is stated very powerfully. The man says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Now, you all know from fifth grade English, can talks about ability. The man says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. He believes Jesus has the ability to do what most people would consider impossible. So Jesus, filled with compassion, reached out and touched the man. The very act of touching one who is branded untouchable by religion and society removes any doubt about Jesus' willingness. This man with this dreaded disease does not horrify Jesus. His power to heal is far greater than the power of leprosy to defile. Jesus often touched people in the course of healing. We saw that last week with Peter's mother-in-law. But leprosy, unlike other diseases, carried with it a ritual uncleanness. To touch a leper would make one unclean himself. This encounter thus raises not just the problem of illness, but the problem of the Levitical laws of purity. So why did Jesus touch him? Since the law forbade the touching of a leper, it's kind of a perplexing question. But I don't think there's any better answer than that was given by the great preacher of the early church, Chrysostom. Chrysostom said, why did he touch him? He said, for no other reason, it seems to me, than that he might signify by this that he is not under the hand of the law, but the law is in his hands. Hence, to the pure in heart, from now on nothing is impure. That's a quote from Titus chapter 1, verse 15. He says, for the leper did not defile his holy hand, but his holy hand cleansed the leper's body. You know, the touch that should have made Jesus unclean, in fact, worked in the opposite direction. Jesus, as he touched the man was clean. Jesus wasn't defiled by the man because he no longer had leprosy. We'll get to that in a minute. But we see here not only Jesus' authority, but a deliberate preference to address need rather than ceremonial ritual. This is going to be a source of future controversies with his religious opponents. Jesus is always doing things that they considered outside their ritual law. We'll see these controversies accelerating in the weeks ahead. But you know, our culture doesn't touch. The love of the people in this church is an exception to that. But as a rule, our culture doesn't touch. And this COVID pandemic has forced many people into a life of isolation. People are isolated more now than ever I've seen in my lifetime. And the church is in danger of isolating itself many times from the ugliness, from the contact with the harsh realities of a world a world that's disfigured and sickened by the ravages of sin. Those who are dying out there, dying in their sin, they need the compassionate hand of God's people to reach out to them with the life-saving good news. The news that they can be freed from sin, that they can be freed from the life-destroying effects of sin. And Jesus reached out to this man, and immediately, the text says immediately, the man was cured. Now, we don't know precisely the amount or the extent of the man's disfigurement, but based on Luke's description, I dare say it was a severe case of leprosy. But immediately, there was a visible restoration. The healings of Jesus are immediate. And the disfigurement of leprosy is no exception. I want you to think for a minute what that means. We've had a brief discussion about leprosy, but the skin is all of a sudden completely clear. The nose and the lips, if they were partially eaten away, are restored. If the man has fingers that are only stumps, they're restored. This is power. This is authority, the like of which no one has ever seen. But even with that kind of authority, even with that kind of power, Jesus insists that the cured leper must go and show himself to the priest and fulfill all the purification rites in the law. Jesus tells the man, go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses said. And Jesus warns the man not to tell anyone what happened. Of course, he makes an exception. The man must go and tell the priest. He must show himself to the priest in fulfillment of the requirements of the law so he can be restored to society. The people who know he has leprosy. Even though it's obvious he's been cured, he must go through the requirements and procedures in the law. And that was a lengthy process. Read Leviticus 14, you can find out. It required 8 days. In addition, the man has to travel to Jerusalem because the offerings that were required had to be made in the temple. So it would be a couple of weeks, really, given the travel time, before this man could be actually permitted back into society. Now, Jesus had warned the man, the text says strongly warned him, not to tell anyone. What does he do? He begins to tell about how Jesus healed him. I'm sure the priest had some questions because, one being cured from leprosy wasn't an everyday occurrence. But when the man was pronounced clean and could be part of society, he's telling anybody that would listen. He began to talk freely, telling everyone what Jesus had done. So I know what the question is in your mind. Why did he do that? Why the utter disregard for Jesus' command not to tell anyone? I just thought of something for you to think about. Why do the demons obey Jesus without delay, without argument, while human beings ignore the commands of the Lord? We're going to see this more in the future. We're going to see this over and over again. Those who have been healed despite being expressly forbidden to do so begin to tell what's happened to them as a result of their encounter with Jesus. And we often have this question. We often wonder about their disobedience. How could they disobey Jesus after he's been so merciful to them? After he has shown them the wonder of his power and authority and healed them, how can they, like almost immediately, start disobeying? It's easy for us to say. But let me ask you, do you ever disobey the Lord Jesus? The one who cleansed you from your sin? A disfigurement far worse than leprosy. Do you ever disobey the one who not only healed you from your sin, but healed you by taking that sin upon himself and suffering the wrath of God for those sins? Do you ever disobey him? So let's not be too harsh about the leper. This man and others we will see, they were so overwhelmed with their encounter with Jesus, with the experience of the mercy of God, they were just compelled to tell others. They couldn't help themselves. But going back to my previous question, I would ask, as the recipients of God's great mercy in Jesus Christ, which took away all of our sins, which took away your sins, which freed you from an eternal punishment that's too horrible to describe, why are you not compelled to tell others? How can we keep quiet about such a great salvation? How can we keep quiet about what Jesus has done for us? How can you keep quiet about what Jesus has done for you? You know, as this news spread, we see here, again, I think it's a testimony of how severe the man's disfigurement was. And more people saw and heard what Jesus had done, it became more and more difficult for Jesus to just enter a town and go to the synagogue and preach. He was swarmed by people wherever he went. Therefore, he stayed more and more outside of town, in lonely places, the scripture says, uninhabited places. It's the only place he could find any peace. But as soon as the word came where he was, we'll find that more and more in the weeks ahead, the people would rush to the place where he was to see him and to seek healing. The witness of Scripture was that he healed them. Beloved, if there's anyone here that has leprosy, not in the body, but in your soul, if you're disfigured by sin, by the corrupting power of anger or resentment or envy or greed or lust, if there is the contamination of guilt in your heart, all you need to do is to come to Jesus and fall on your knees before him and cry out, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Beloved, he is willing. He's waiting. He promises, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. He didn't run the man off because he had leprosy, because he was too horrible to look at, not to mention all the things he had to do to himself under the law and tear his clothes and his hair looks like he just got out of bed and his face is covered. Jesus doesn't say, go away. He reaches out and touches him. He says, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. He has compassion for the unclean. Thank God that is so. I'm the most unclean. But restored and healed and redeemed by Jesus Christ. And he offers the same to all who will come. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who came, healed us from the worst disability, the worst sickness, the worst curse, the curse of sin, by taking it upon himself, taking our sin in his own body, on the tree, and bearing your wrath that should have rested upon us. Lord, how we thank you, how we praise you. And Lord, he's willing to do the same for all who will come. Lord, we must be like this man healed from leprosy. Lord, compel us to go out to the fields, the highways, the hedges, bring them in, share with them the good news that Jesus Christ saves. Lord, help us as your church, help us as your people to do that. Lord, to be faithful to what you've called us to do. And may it be all for your glory and your honor. I pray these things in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen.